Well, good morning, everyone. And just to note, Michael is away, just on vacation with Johnny. So they're enjoying the rays of Florida. So that's where Michael is this morning. Are we doing well today? Good. So today we'll be doing part six. And we will be ending the series today. So I have the wonderful pleasure of wrapping this thing up. So part six. We started off this series in Devoted with Deeper, Higher, Wider. And then part two was devoted to following Jesus. Part three was devoted to love. Then four, finding my purpose in God. And then last week we talked about his devotion, my identity in Christ. And I thought, how do you wrap this whole thing up? And let me begin by this. It's been a month journey for me. And this week, let's just say I've been crushed by his word, if that makes sense. I think Isaiah says I'm undone. Because I had a perception. And it has been a week journey of me pretty much dealing with this perception. And so it led me to what I wanted to talk about today was how do you wrap this whole thing up? How do we go deeper, wider, higher in God? How are we devoted to love? How do we find this identity? How? And then the Lord brought me this, which was what we're going to talk about tonight, or this morning. Yeah. It's the word, I've titled this today, Rooted. And what do I mean by rooted? I think it comes down to this one word. Is that our devotion is rooted in the Lord. And I know that's not a word that even many preachers, trust me, I've seen what kind of stuff is out there. And let me tell you, church, it's something that church doesn't preach about anymore. It's something that our lives don't emulate anymore. What is this thing about lordship? And so that's a journey that I hope we go on together. And my prayer this morning is that we radically get a revelation of this. Because the key is, I think if we get this, I think everything else becomes fruitful in our lives. If you're with me, turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 7. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 7. And when you're there, no, we're not doing aha anymore. When you're there, say, for show. For show. No. It's for show. We there. We're there for sure. It's not for sure. It's for show. For show. Okay. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Notice this verse does not say, as you have received Christ Jesus as your Savior. It doesn't say that. But I'm sure some of us interpret that. And hopefully by the end of this, you guys don't throw rocks at me. Because it's going to get heavy. Trust me, it's going to. And so our lives must be submitted and built upon the one foundation, and that is the Lordship of Christ. And you can feel free to say amen. That was a good one too. Yeah, right there. Okay. Yeah, right there. So we gave up feeding off of the tree of our own assessment of what is right and wrong, of what is good and evil. Because why? Because we live in Him, and His life becomes ours. Isn't that what Galatians 2:20 says? That I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Jeremiah 10:23 says this, Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own. It is not for them to direct their steps. So the question is, why do we think we can direct our own steps? He's my Lord, right? So, okay, I'll stop right there. And then this is the one that I think for a lot of us. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10, where we call the salvation message. And this is what it actually says. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be what? Notice it does not say, if you openly declare that Jesus is Savior. It doesn't say that. So why do we interpret it that way? See, for most of us, or most churches, we say, come to Jesus. He loves you. Say this prayer and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Thank you, I'm a child of God. Thank you for saving me. Amen. But that's not Bible. That's not Bible. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is what? Is Lord. Is Lord. See, we reduce salvation to just being about a Savior when really it's about a King or a Lord who came to save His people. That's the kingdom message. That's the gospel message right there. But we've reduced it to just a Savior. And you know why we reduce it to being just a Savior? Because it feels good to us. And I'm trying not to go on. So what is this thing called Lordship? And so, Lord, and I'm not big in the Greek, but I decided to look in the Greek. Comes from the word kurios, which means master, owner, supreme in authority. And I can just stop there and we can ask ourselves that question is He all those things in my life? And there's silence filled the room. Savior is only found 36 times in the whole Bible. Do you know how many times the Lord is found in the Bible? Over 7,800 times. So where do you think the emphasis is according to His Word? If He only uses Savior 36 times and Lord 7,800 times, then where is the emphasis? See, Lordship is really one of the main foundational truths that we as a church have ignored in our lives, in business, in our families, personal. To confess only Jesus as Savior doesn't bring freedom or new life. Hey, if you confess that Jesus is Lord, it's not if you confess Jesus as Savior. This is just Bible. And trust me, I got enough whippings this week by God, okay? So, I know. And this is the thing we have to understand, is that Lord declares his position while Savior describes the work he's done for us. Right there is where I pray you get that revelation. Lordship is based on his position. Savior is a benefit of his lordship. See, every revelation demands a response. And every response demands a reality. What does that mean? When I hear the revelation of this truth, or it's like with Peter, when Peter got the revelation that, yes, Jesus is the Christ, there was a revelation there, which he responded with, yes, you are the Christ. And then the reality was the walking out of that in his own personal life and among the disciples. That is the reality. So what does this mean practically? Trish and I will be married 11 years in July. One of the benefits of marrying Trish is she's a great planner. And so she's a planner for Disney, for family vacations, for outings that we might want to do, for anything. She just loves planning, that kind of sort of thing. However, as much as Trish is a planner, I'll always refer to her as my wife. Why? Because that's her position in my life. The benefit is her being a planner. Are you with me? What? And many other things, that's right. For sure, yes, for sure. But do you get that? That's her position in my life. And I benefit from her planning. The same way is, same way with God is, his lordship is his position. His Savior, I benefit from that. And then that's when healing comes, and provision, and miracles, etc., etc., etc. Are you with me still? However, what we've done is focused on his benefit of Savior and ignored his position as Lord. This is good. I'm still smiling. You see, we can't take part of the benefit of his work unless we come under his position as Lord. It's just Bible. And so our acknowledgement of Jesus as Lord is filtered by our obedience towards him and his word. What is our obedience like? Yeah, it's that word that we don't like to hear, but John 14:21 says this: those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. If we obey him, it says that we love him. But this is what kind of astounded me is, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Who is them? Ones who are obedient. Ones who are obedient is who he wants to reveal himself to. He wants to reveal himself to you. But there is a response that he needs from us, and that is obedience. And so true worship is revealed by who we obey and not who we sing to. True worship is revealed by who we obey and not who we sing to. And obedience is the outward evidence of the fear of the Lord, which I'll get to. Because I think that's the other thing that we've kind of just put to the wayside, is we've lost our fear of the Lord. Even some of us might be even sleeping this morning. We've lost the fear of the Lord. And so in Luke 6:46 says this: why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? Why do you keep calling me this title of Lord when you don't even you don't even listen to me? It's better at least if you were to call me a teacher. Hey, good teacher. Right? It's like with our kids. It's, why do you keep calling me mommy and daddy when you don't honor me? Why do you keep calling me pastor? Oh, okay, I won't go there. But do you get it, though? Why do we call him Lord, Lord, and we're not going to obey him? We've depleted the name of the Lord to something that is meaningless. It's meaningless to us. It's an empty word. That's what we've reduced it to. See, the cross does more than just free us from sin. It enables us to live obedient to Him. The last time I spoke on grace and how grace empowers us to live for Him. It's His empowerment. So what do you think grace does in obeying Christ? It empowers us to walk in obedience to Him. That's what His grace does. It doesn't just save us. It empowers us to live this godly life here on the earth. And so for many of us, we quote John 3:16, where it says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. And we say, man, that's my Savior. But if you go actually to John chapter 3, verse 36, few verses down, it says this. It says, and anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment. I think we missed that part. I'm serious. There's a balance to this word. It's not all about a Savior. It's not. James 4:7, which we'll get to next month. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, lordship demands humility and honor. My twin towers. Lordship demands humility and honor. How are we doing in those areas? This is one of the things that struck me the most. If you look at Solomon's life, if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, many of us will say, man, that's some sad stuff. Poor Solomon. And yeah, it is a sad book. But if you look at the end of chapter 12 in Ecclesiastes, understanding that Solomon was the wisest man ever to live, but at some point Solomon lost his focus of Lord, and he actually let things be Lord over him. And then in Ecclesiastes 12:13, it says, that's the whole story. Solomon says, here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey His commandments. For this is what? Everyone's duty. I think we skipped over that one. Fear God, obey His commands, for it's everyone's duty. There's no exceptions. Which brings me that the root of obedience is always rooted in the fear of the Lord. And what is this fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord, of course, is not this scary thing. It's not fear, but it's this awe and reverence of Him. For those of us that are married, it's almost like you're in awe and reverence of your wife. Not to that degree, but practically. But listen to this. It says, Proverbs 9:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so the person who is actually scared of God, guess what? You have something to hide. The person who fears God is scared of being away from God. If you're scared of Him, that means you have something to hide. But if you actually fear Him, that means there's no other place you want to be but with Him. You're actually scared to be away from Him. Are you still with me? For sure. Our fear of the Lord is measured by our intimacy with Him. Our fear of the Lord is measured by our intimacy with Him. What does that mean? We have this relationship with God. But for many of us, we think when we sin, it destroys the relationship. But guess what? It doesn't destroy the relationship. It destroys the fellowship. It destroys the fellowship. So if I get angry at Trish, our relationship doesn't end because I said something to her that hurt her. The fellowship ended. And so what must I do now? I go to Trish and I say, please forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. And she says, yeah, I forgive you. For sure. And then guess what? The fellowship now is back. And what happens when you have fellowship? You have intimacy. And then now we can look at each other in this intimate place, pure, because of this reverence we have. Because she's my wife, I'm her husband. Are you with me? And so, what's the result of this? The result of fearing the Lord is we start to embrace His heart. We love what He loves and we hate what He hates. What's important to Him is important to me. Do you see that? And so we fear God. When we fear God, we 1, obey Him instantly. 2, obey Him even when it hurts. 3, obey Him even if it doesn't make sense. 4, obey Him even when we don't see the benefit. 5, obey Him to completion. Do you get this now? I don't expect you to get it right this minute. But this is what the sense of what God wants to do in us, and for us to be totally devoted to Him. We have to establish these things in our lives. We have to ask Him for this revelation. We can't begin to know God unless we fear Him. We We can't begin to know Him unless we fear Him. And we can't call Him friend without acknowledging Him as Lord. And quietness filled the room again. It's challenging stuff, I know. And this is the other thing that I felt the Holy Spirit say to us. We have to examine our hearts and determine if I am a fan or a follower. Are you a fan of the gospel? Are you a fan of this Jesus? Or are you actually a follower of Him and His Word? And the way you answer that will determine your outcome. I don't want to be a fan. I mean, for some of us, we're fans of the Maple Leafs, and I have no idea why you're a fan of them. Yeah, take that sweater off, okay, David? But we're a fan. And I don't have time to get into what the difference between a fan and a follower, but there is a huge difference. The Lord is not going to come into our hearts in second place. He wants complete ownership of our life. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." I want to read this in the Message. Check this out. It says, "Knowing the correct password, saying, 'Master, Master,' for instance, isn't going to get you..." Sorry. Saying, "Master, Master," for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills. I can see it now at the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me and saying, "Master, we preached the message, we bashed the demons, our God-sponsored projects had everyone talking. And do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourselves important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here." If this was Celebrity Apprentice, Arnold would say, "You've been terminated. Head to the chopper." But your chopper's not going up. You have to understand, these are people who believe in the teachings of the Gospels. They call Him Lord, are emotionally invested, give voice to the message, serve in the local church. They tithe and give offerings. When there is an event, they're the first ones to come and the last ones to leave. Wouldn't you say and believe that these were Christians? Wouldn't you believe? And this is what I had to do. I had to look at my life and say, "Man, that could easily be me. If I make it all about Him being Savior and not Him being Lord." God's looking for authentic believers. And 1 John 2, 3-4 says, "And we can be sure that we know Him if we obey His commandments. If someone claims, 'I know God,' but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and not living in truth." I mean, it doesn't get more simple than that. If you're not obeying Him, He's saying, "Guess what? You're a liar. You don't love me. You don't think I'm your Lord." I love what Psalm 25:14 says. Do I have that up there? No? It says this: "Friendship with God is reserved for those who reverence Him." with them alone, He shares the secrets of His promises. I want to be one of those people. But I know I have to do some radical obedience. My life has to change. And I'm not going to speak for you, but I know my life has to line up with that. David wrote this in Psalm 16. He says, "You are my Lord." And this is what got me. "I have no good apart from you." In other words, anything outside of you, guess what? It's not good. Anything outside of you being Lord of my life is not good. And I don't think I have. Here's what we'll do. No, we're good. Sorry. I'm just trying to stay in tune. Sorry. So He is Lord of these things. It could be a statement or it could be a question to you, but I'm just going to throw it out there. So is He Lord of your conduct? Jesus wants His desires and His will to rule over your actions, your words and feelings, your very character. Number two, is He Lord of your relationships, your marriage, your friendship, maybe even your colleagues at work, with mom, with dad? Is He Lord of your relationships? Number three, is He Lord of your time? What time do you have available for Him? Do you actually have to put Him into your calendar? Is He actually worth an app? That was good. I actually came up with that one myself just now. Number four, is He Lord of your talents? Do you know every single one of you have unique talents? Unique gifts that He's given to each and every single one of us? And what are they for? They're supernatural abilities intended to build His kingdom. And so He wants to be Lord of those things, whether they're gifts of music, teaching, mercy, helping, administration, whatever it is, He's given you a unique gift to build His kingdom. Is He Lord of that? Number five, is He Lord of your treasure? It's not just about cash. But if He's given you finances, essentially, what are you doing with it? Are you stewarding it well? Are you stewarding it well? When you surrender all you have to the Lordship of Jesus, He gives it back so you can use it for Him. And guess what? The reason why He wants to do that, because He wants you to experience joy in doing that. He wants you to experience joy. It's His pleasure. It's not like He wants it back and then for Him to hoard it. No. Mark chapter 8, 34 to 35 says this. "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." What does all that mean? I'm just going to simply put it this way. You can't have two lords in your life. We can't serve two masters. You have to make a decision. All of us need to make a decision. Even today when we leave here, we need to make a decision. Of who's going to be our master, who's going to be our owner, Who are we actually going to let rule and reign in our lives? I don't know if I said this early, but just reminded, but lordship is really, Jesus as Savior is all about His benefit to us. But our lordship to Him is, Him being our Lord is our response to Him. That's our response. Him being Savior to us is His benefit to us. And then what do we do? We respond by saying, "You are my Lord." It's beautiful. Then we're going to end with this. So what does this, that whole pick up your cross thing? The rich young ruler, Mark chapter 10, verse 17. He says, "And now he was going on the road, and one came running, knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" And so what does Jesus say? Jesus looks at this young rich ruler. Imagine if a businessman came in here. We knew he was a millionaire. And he said, "What do I have to do to have eternal life?" A lot of us would say, "Man, okay, so what do you have to do to be eternal life? Okay, you just have to say this prayer with me. And man, this is going to be so great. And of course, your wheels are already turning because you're like, man, he's going to come into the kingdom. Man, he's a millionaire. He's going to give so much money to us. But then we can build and we can do whatever we want to do. And man, this is going to be so exciting." But that's not what Jesus did. Mark chapter 10, 19 to 20 says this. Jesus asked him these things, or these commandments. He says, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth." Man, he said, "All these things I've kept." And for us, if that was in our context, we would say, "Man, this guy's awesome. He's kept these things." But notice that Jesus kept four from him. The six that he gave dealt with human relationship. The four that he omitted dealt with his relationship with God. And this is what he says. In verse 21, Jesus says, looking at him, loved him, and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." See, the young man was eager for Jesus as Savior, but not Jesus as Lord. And in closing, when a woman marries a man, she is saying bye to her past boyfriends. And she's saying, "This is the only man I'm giving myself to for the rest of my life." She's giving her entire heart, her entire life. Just like the rich young ruler, every single one of us today has a decision of what and who we will be devoted to. Our devotion to God demands a response. It demands a response. And so what is our response going to be today? And so what we're going to do, we're not going to have a worship team up here. I'm going to play a song. And to be honest, this is as straightforward as This is the word that God gave to me for us. My people have accepted me as Savior, but have ignored me as Lord. My heart is that my bride would turn away from the Lord's they have built in their lives and would begin to follow me once again. And essentially, the Holy Spirit just told me, I want my people to do some business with me. So nobody's going to pray with you. But we all have to determine in our hearts today. Are we going to be a fan or a follower? Are we going to focus on this person named Jesus who is just my Savior and have nothing to do with Him as Lord? Or will we make that decision of Him being Lord of our lives? Because if we decide in our hearts today, I'm going to make you Lord, then let's enjoy the ride. Because it's going to be good. It's going to be sweet. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be challenging. You're going to have some good days, bad days. But guess what? If He is Jesus as Lord, if He is the owner of our lives, if He is the supreme authority over our lives, then why do we need to worry? I don't own me. I don't own me. He owns me. And I just remain obedient to Him. It's actually that simple. And I'll say it again and I'll say it every single time. The gospel is simple. The Bible is simple. But we make it difficult. Amen? So if this is actually something that you say in your heart, I want to make Him Lord. If you're here and you haven't accepted Jesus as Lord, then guess what? Today is your day. Because if you openly declared that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that He was raised from the dead, the Bible says it's that simple. You're saved. You're saved. And so if that is you and you want to make that decision today, then you can come see Dom or myself afterwards. But what I want to do, and I don't want us to rush, please, because I think this is very important for us, is for us to spend time, search our hearts. And if we're not right, then let's repent, move on, and go for Him as Lord. It's that simple. Trust me, I had to do a lot of it. And it's okay. Because I don't want to belabor this point, but ever since I've done it, there's a new freedom that comes with that. There's a new freedom that comes with Him being Lord. I don't know how to explain it. There just is.